Grace, peace, and mercy be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Someone has just moved into your neighborhood, or a new worker where you work, or a new teacher at her school, and you want to know what kind of person is it, where they come from, where they stand for. What kind of person is this? And if you were growing up where I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, the first most important thing you wanted to know about a new person was, what is their nationality? Our neighborhood was filled with immigrants and first generations America, and they carried with them the old country prejudices. We would never say a person is Polish. We'd say a dumb Polak. German, no. A kraut. Hard-headed. Italians, wops. We were very prejudiced. In fact, I lived in the first integrated community in Cleveland, Ohio, and not a black person in sight. What we were worried about was not what color they were, but what were their national origin. And then I moved to Florida as a young boy, 9 years old, and they didn't care where your great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents came from. They were there so long they forgot where their parents came from. They were interested, where were you born? Are you a rebel or are you a Yankee? The Civil War was still a hot topic with them, or shall I say the War of Northern Aggression. So with this in mind, we go to John the Baptist and we ask, what sort of person was he? Well, first of all, he had a pedigree. He was the son of Zechariah, a priest, who had married Elizabeth from the tribe of Aaron. Seeing as he had a father as a priest, he could have been one too. He could have preached in a temple. He could have worn fine clothing. He could have eaten good food. But what do we read of him? John's clothes was made of camel's hair, and he had a leather girdle, and his food, what was it? Locusts and wild honey. Today we hear so much about being politically correct, PC. Some of it I can understand, say yes and amen. Some of it I have to really stretch my brain to try to figure out, and some of it I don't know why they're talking like they are, why they have these issues. I just learned this week that in England they no longer want to use capital letters. It frightens little children. They don't know if they're supposed to or not, and so just make them all small letters. This reminds me some years ago when some researchers did some foolish things just to see if they could get a following. One man in a crowded street looked up in the sky, and everybody started doing the same thing just to follow suit. If he's doing it, I got to do it too. Another man said, I'm going to show you how foolish people are. And he said, you know something? Animals, they're just like Adam and Eve. Why? They're ashamed of their nakedness. They want to be clothed. And he got all kinds of people to go around, have a national convention. Let's help the animals, clothe the animals, help them, please. Well, John the Baptist wasn't PC. Look at the way he confronted his adversaries. You brood of vipers! Who warned you of the wrath that is to come? Produce fruits that befit repentance. Someone else might have been kinder and gentler to these very honored and special people. Let's try not to offend anybody. Well, getting back to his clothing, or shall I say his appearance, he wore a coarsely woven garment of camel's hair. It is said that he was a Nazarite, not a Nazarene, but a Nazarite, a special group of people. And according to the book of Numbers, he would never cut or comb his hair. He looked like some of the haircuts I've seen today. He had no desire to appear and appeal to anybody by his looks or his mannerism. And yet, what do we read about him? People went to him. Mark says, all of Jerusalem. Luke says, multitudes came to him. Evidently, they were not looking for a finely dressed priest. in a beautiful building accompanied by musicians and all kinds of musical instruments and choirs. They went out to see him, to hear him, period. And what did he say of his own popularity with multitudes coming to him? What did he say? I must decrease so that he will increase. He said, there's someone coming mightier than I, and I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. John was never about himself. As we will see later, he was always about Jesus. And look how he took on the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Look how he took on the king. He said to him, you are wrong, king. I don't care if you're a king or not. You've married your brother's wife. And you've done all kinds of evil. That cost him his life, but he didn't back down. Well, how did Jesus evaluate this non-political person? He said, I tell you this, of all the men born of woman, none was greater than John. And he also said, if you're willing to accept it, John is the Elijah who was to come. Jesus appreciated his forthrightness. Now bring the text down to ourselves. What kind of person are you? What kind of person am I? Well, today, unlike in my childhood days, it doesn't matter where your parents or your grandparents or your great-grandparents come from. And in the South, they're not worried that much more about whether you're a rebel or a Yankee. Those days are over. What matters is not what I think of you or what you think of me. What matters is what does God Almighty think of us? And I have this on good authority. God isn't into PC. In fact, Jesus put it this way. Whoever confesses me before men, him shall I confess before my Father is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him shall I deny before my Father who is in heaven. Certainly, God doesn't want us to go out of our way to offend anybody. He wants us to be kind and humble, considerate of all people, and as the Bible says, especially to those within the household of faith. He wants us to speak the truth in love. You and I know that there are some things that are right and there are some things that are wrong, clearly identified in the Bible. PC doesn't agree with that. What are we going to do? What did Peter say? We must obey God rather than man. Some things sometimes are wrong, and we can quietly go along with it, or we can stand with Jesus. Think of this hymn. Stand up for Jesus, that trumpet call obey, forth in the mighty conflict, and this his glorious day. Ye men are not are brave, now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger, and strength is strength opposed. There is a trumpet call going out for Jesus in today's politically correct world. And it's a mighty conflict because the other side has gained popularity. But Jesus is our fortress, our rock, and our defender. Sometimes it's hard. A lot of Germans found that out in the 1930s. Good Germans who chose to keep quiet. And indeed, I fail sometimes, and so do you. That's where the gospel comes in, doesn't it? If we say we have no sin, if we say we always stand up for Jesus, we always honor his name, we always honor his teachings, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, if we confess that we don't always stand up, that we don't always honor his name, that we don't always honor his teachings, and God is faithful, and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So think about John the Baptist. You don't need to wear a camel's hair. You can comb your hair, but stand up. Stand up for Jesus. And just to show you how pervasive PC is, how many of you saw the funeral today? Raise your hand, please. How many of you heard the gospel in that message? No. He praised imams and rabbis. He mentioned the name of Jesus. But in order not to offend anybody, he denied the gospel. How do you get to heaven? Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. And let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works. Be like George H.W. Bush and you'll get to heaven too. That is works righteousness. It's appealing, but it denies the blood and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. An excellent opportunity to preach the gospel was lost. We are living in a PC world, but we are Christians, and we are called to stand up for Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let the offerings now be received.